Today we're going to do something that I don't think I've ever done before, but we're calling this 5 on 5. Everyone say that with me. 5 on 5. Well, what in the world is that? Well, we're going to hear from 5 different ministry leaders in the church that helped me. Just 5 of them. There's others, but these 5 are going to share with you. I spoke several weeks ago, I don't know if you remember this, on dealing with trouble. Anybody remember that? Difficulties, challenges. Well, we're going to hear 5 different stories of staff members who have encountered difficulties and challenges, and some of them how they've overcome, and some of them how they're just dealing with it in the here and now. I'm very excited about that. So 5 on 5, 5 of them, and they've got 5 minutes each. Everyone say 5 minutes. If they go longer than 5 minutes, a dong is going to be sounded, and then we pull them off. No, I'm just, we won't be that way, but seriously, we will. So 5 minutes. So you have your note sheets. I'm sorry, service host, run down here. Did you get a note sheet? I'm sorry, I should have done this earlier. If you did not receive a hot sheet when you came in, just lift up your hand, just unashamed, just put them up and say, I need a hot sheet. You don't want to miss today's message or the nugget of insight and clarity that we believe the Holy Spirit is going to share in this service. So keep your hands up there and make sure everyone has something to follow along with. Okay, 5 on 5, 5 minutes. The first ministry staff member you're going to hear from is actually not here. His name is Mike Dacness, and he oversees our FE Junior High Ministry. Now, for those who are new with us, FE does not stand for our Spanish ministry. FE doesn't mean faith, and you go to that booth looking for a Spanish group. FE stands for, anyone help me out? Fire Escape. And that's what we call our youth ministry. And we have 2 parts of our youth ministry. We have a junior high, Fire Escape, FE, and we have a senior high school, FE, Fire Escape. And so anybody just want to go back to their junior high years? You just loved them so much. Let me see it. Just look at the hand. Just across. Just junior high was awesome. I thought so. And just think about that time of just change and all kind of stuff happening. And our church, under Mike's leadership, has the awesome responsibility in that window of time, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, of just pouring the love of God and the confidence of God and the strength of God into their lives. So he's actually right now at our junior high retreat. He's got tons of kids around him. So we pre-recorded his 5 on 5. So let's hear from Mike Dacness.
Good morning, Community Church. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Mike Dacness, and I oversee the middle school ministry here at the church. Now, I wish that I could be there with you this morning, but I'm actually down in Scottsville, Virginia, right now, hanging out with our students on our middle school fall retreat. Now, I want to just take a couple minutes this morning and share a little bit about my story with you. But first, I want to introduce you to my family. This is my beautiful and intelligent wife, Jamie. We've been married for 3 years, and on her lap is our 2-year-old son, Judah, who's as energetic and as fun as could be. In recent years, they've been the biggest joy in my life, but I want to take you back some years to when I was younger. Now, like some of you, I actually grew up in church. I grew up hearing stories about Bible heroes, hearing songs like Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, and when I was in 7th grade, my dad became my youth pastor. Now, I want you to picture that for a second. If you're a middle schooler or high schooler in the room, your dad becomes your youth pastor. The pressure's on. But I actually loved being a part of our youth group. One of my favorite parts about youth ministry was being a part of a small group with 6 different guys that just did life together. We would hang out on Friday nights together, we would hang out after church together, and those guys became my closest friends. One of those friends of mine, his name was Robert, and I loved hanging out with Robert. Robert was a guy who just lived like there was no tomorrow. Everything was exciting, he had tons of energy, tons of crazy ideas. We had a great time together. But one weekend, our church decided to go on a church camping trip. And on this trip, my friend Robert had a moment where he got very upset. and ended up arguing with my father about a situation that was going on where he had done something wrong, and my dad called him out on it, and Robert got angry, and he ran off, and he hung himself. Now, I just want you to picture that for a moment. Try to understand what it would be like for your best friend to take their life while you're in middle school. This was something that was very difficult for me. It was a time when I felt super alone, where I felt abandoned, where I started asking God questions like, God, if you're really loving, if you're really there, why would this happen? How could you let this happen? It was a time in my life where I felt completely alone. Now, I didn't know what to do with my heartache. I didn't know what to do with my pain. I had no idea where to get the answers to the questions that I had. So I just figured I'd continue with the routine I had. I'd continue going to youth group. I'd continue spending time with the small group that I had because it was a bunch of guys who had the same hurts and the same pains, the same questions that I had. And it was one day when we were sitting down together reading scripture that we came across a story found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now in this story, the Israelites are surrounded by armies. They've been fighting battles over and over and over and hardly surviving. And at this point, they have three different armies surrounding them all at one time. They know the next day they have to go into battle and that there's no possible way that they can win the fight. I'm sure at that time they were feeling alone, that they were feeling heartache, that they had felt abandoned as well. But a prophet rose up, and in verse 15, it tells us that he said, "This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's." And now in this moment, the army of Israel had to come up with a battle plan. They needed to figure out what they were gonna do. What's the strategy for winning this battle? And King Jehoshaphat came up with this plan. "Tomorrow, we're gonna go into battle worshiping the Lord." Now, hold on one second. Does that sound like a great battle strategy to you? It doesn't sound like a great battle strategy to me, but this is what they did. In verse 21, it says that they went into battle, lifting their hands, worshiping God, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Now, what's amazing in this story is that God himself is the one who fights the battle for them. He confuses the three armies, causes them to fight against each other, and ultimately the Israelites walk into the battleground, finding their entire armies have been wiped away. Now, I want to be really honest with you. After reading the story, my circumstances didn't change. I still had hurts, I still had pains, I still had questions. But what I came to realize is that when the world seems like it's against us, when there are questions and there are no answers, when things seem impossible, that worship is a weapon. Worship is a weapon that we can use during those times to access hope, to access the tangible help of God in our lives. Now, I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I hope that this story today reminds you that no matter what's going on in your life, that there is hope, that God is for you, that he's fighting a battle for you. And today, worship is a weapon that you can use to receive his tangible help.
Good morning. My name is Ashley Van, and I work with all our volunteers here at the church, Team Orange. Woohoo! And I also manage our grow classes. I have been on staff for 3 years, but I've also been a member of the church for 17 years. I met my amazing husband here, and this December we will celebrate our 16-year anniversary. My family is on the back. There's a picture of our family. There's Brian and I, and there's Emma, who's 13. She's actually has her semifinals volleyball tournament today at 3, so we're going to be rooting her on today. And there's Ethan, who is 8, who loves to play baseball with his older brother, Dylan, who is 11. Looking at our family, it always brings such joy and happiness to my heart and to our life, but it also brings such sorrow. You see, there's someone missing in that picture. 11 years ago, it was the hardest time that Brian and I walked through with the death of our son. We were pregnant with our second child, and I was 20 weeks pregnant. We went to our 20-week ultrasound, and there the doctors told us that our son had polycystic kidneys, which basically means that his kidneys weren't working. And with that comes other complications, and ultimately the doctors told us that there was no good news. They basically told us just to give up hope, to terminate the pregnancy because it wasn't going to be successful. And during that time, you know, we just really relied on the Lord and were praying and asking for that miracle. But for those 12 weeks, I journaled, and I'm so thankful that I journaled because now I can look back and see where I was and see what I was thinking and what I was feeling during that time. And a lot of the journal entries were, Lord, you know, heal his body. Let us be able to have our miracle. But it was also, Lord, give me strength. Heal my faith during this time, because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but Lord, strengthen my faith during this time. So I'm so thankful that I was able to journal so I can go back and look and see where my faith was and actually where it is to this day during this storm. On January 16th, our sweet baby boy, Grant, was born. And we were so thankful that the Lord gave us the time that he gave us in the hospital. We knew it was very limited, but we were grateful the time that we had. And we just sat there in the hospital room. My heart hurt because I knew that I wasn't bringing our son home. I knew that it wasn't going to change, but I didn't know what else to do. So I just called on the Lord and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I have all this pain and I have all this hurt. And I just asked him, I said, Lord, just give me peace. Just give me peace in this moment, because I didn't know what to do. And this overwhelming sense of calmness and stillness, the Holy Spirit just filled that room. And it was just a special moment that we were able to experience. And I could just hear the Lord saying, Ashley, it's going to be okay. He's healed, he's loved, and you're going to see him again. And you know, Scripture says in John 14:27, it's up on the screen, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you like the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That's the peace that God gave us in that hospital. You know, peace isn't in the absence of a storm. It's the stillness, the calmness, and the rest in the midst, in the middle of that storm. And you know, and that's what God gave us in that hospital. We were so in the darkest part of that storm, and the Lord's peace just came over us, and we felt his calmness. We felt his stillness. Now, the hurt was still there. The pain, it was still there. It wasn't going away. You know, there were days that I couldn't get out of bed because I was so depressed. There were days that I was mad at God because we didn't get our miracle. They were so real. But the Lord was just whispering and talking to me and reminding me. He said, remember that peace that I gave you in the hospital? It's going to be okay. He's loved, he's healed, and you're going to see him again. And that peace is really what got me up not every morning, but most mornings. It got me up to go, you know what? I can live again. You know, God's the one that's helping me to be able to do this. And with his peace, he helped me to be able to get up and pick up the pieces and to be able to live again. And you know, there's probably some of us here today in the middle of a storm. And I just urge you guys to ask. Call on his name and ask for that peace. So you can hear him and you can feel his presence in your life, and you hear him saying, you can do this. It's going to be okay. You're going to get through this, but you're not alone. You can do this. We can do this together. So I just urge you guys to just seek his peace and feel his presence in your life. Now, like I said, I'm a part of the team here. I'm available, and I'm so thankful that I was able to share with you guys this morning my story. But if you're looking also to take a next step, I'm here. We have Grow, which is our four steps to help you get a part, to be a part of the church. And if you want to come talk to me, that's downstairs. And also, if you want to take the next steps to be a part of Team Orange, that's exciting too. So I'm here to help you if you guys want to take those next steps. So thanks for letting me share today.
Hey guys. Today is Jersey Sunday, and I was chatting with Pastor Charlie earlier today, and I was saying, Pastor, I think I'm going to talk about identity crisis. And he started laughing, going like, why? I said, well, it's Jersey Sunday. I was born here in America, but my parents are Peruvian, and I'm here wearing a Brazilian jersey. But listen, this is a real football, right? My name is Alan. I am the guest services director here at the church. I have the opportunity to oversee the volunteers that the hundreds of volunteers that make our church feel as welcome as it is. I want to show you a picture of my family. Here you see my lovely wife, Elizabeth, right in the middle. And I have three kids. I've been married with Elizabeth for 17 years. And my three kids, Adriel, who is 10, he loves baseball and chess. He plays with Ethan, by the way, sometimes, or against him. Valerie, who is 8, and she loves horseback riding, and I guess horses love her too, because that one is trying to eat her. And then my little daughter, Janella, who is 4, and she likes gymnastics. And also, 4 years ago, Elizabeth and I found out in the hospital that she was diagnosed with Down syndrome. You know, and as I remember, as I was thinking about today and what I was going to share with you, I remember a book that I read by Dr. Chan called Leadership Pain. And in this book, he mentioned something that resonated for me during this week as I was thinking about this. He said, beware when you stop feeling pain or when you stop going through difficulties or when you stop going through challenges. Because at that moment, what could be happening is that you're not growing anymore. And for many of us, probably that's true, right? Every time there has been a challenge or a problem in life, on the other side, after that challenge, or even if we're going through the challenge, we figure or we find out that we're growing, that God is doing something in us. And what I want to share with you is something that I am actually going through right now. I would love to say to you that I have overcome this, but I can assure you that I am overcoming it. And what happened is about 9 weeks ago, and I want you to pay close attention to what I'm saying because I want to make sure that there's no misunderstanding on this. But about 9 weeks ago, my family and I were faced with a very, very difficult case of child sexual abuse. Very tough, very tough. To some point when we found about this, we didn't know what was going to happen. As myself, I felt that maybe my family was not going to be the same. That it was, I felt my family was breaking apart. I felt that there was a lot of things that are not going to be the same. Now the person that did this is in jail already. But here's what has been happening for the past few weeks, and it's that I've been mad. I have been afraid. I have been worried. Sometimes I work here during the week, and I have felt sometimes that I cannot move forward. I felt paralyzed by this situation. And little did I know that there was something that God was doing in me during this time. Now, because of my position here at the church as a pastor and my family, everybody was coming to me with their situations or with their concerns. And that was putting a big, heavy weight on me. But at the same time, something inside of me wasn't right. And I decided, my family and I decided to go to therapy. Thank you for the Laurong Abuse Women's Shelter. They're doing a phenomenal job, and they're doing a great job with each and every one of us in our family and for many families that they're helping. But in my case, I decided to go to therapy because there was something not settling me that I've been going through for the past 25 years. And through therapy, I discovered, well, I didn't discover. What I did is I unearthed something that I put in a hole, and I buried it. That I also was a victim of child molestation 25 years ago. And that's what was paralyzing me and now allowing me to be the normal person. I don't want to say the normal person. Everything that God wanted me to be. Now, I share with you this. It's not easy. I can't tell you that I can say I have forgiven. I cannot tell you that everything is okay. I can't. Sometimes memories come to me, even of the present situation that just happened a few weeks ago with my family. And it's still there, and I'm still thinking about it, and it's tough. But here's a couple things that I want to leave you with. 2 points. Number one thing that my family and I have decided today, because I don't know if you have been in this situation. Maybe there's somebody here that went through the same situation that I have gone through or my family have gone through. Maybe you have felt that your family is cursed. And I felt that my family was cursed. But one thing that my family and I have decided today, and I want to make it public here in front of my wife and in front of my kids, is that curse will not have a hold on my life and my family anymore. We have decided that no longer we're going to allow for sexual abuse to be a part of our family. I discovered through the process that there's been generations behind me that have gone through this and have stayed silent, have not done the proper steps. And now we have decided, my family and I, that we're going to shed a light on this and we're going to tell all this curse no more. Can you repeat with me? Curse no more. We have made the decision, and I have made the promise to my wife, and I have made the promise to my kids that I'm going to fight my demons so that they don't have to fight their demons or my demons. It stops here, and it stops with this generation. And here's the thing that I want to leave you with. Church, and I know I have people from my family here today, have those conversations, those difficult conversations about this topic. Tell your kids, show your kids, explain your kids what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. Have those conversations. It is important. Sometimes we just let it slide. Sometimes we don't talk about it. And then we don't know that things could be happening in our own families. And here's the second thing that I want to leave you with. Because I don't want you to feel sorry for the things that I have shared with you. Because there's nothing to be sorry here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, I want us to read it together. Can we read it together? And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. I stand here in front of you, and I want to declare in the name of Jesus for the families that are here that have gone through this, there is healing coming. There is restoring coming. My family might not be the same, but my family is going to be better. Christmas might not be the same, but Christmas is going to be better. Thanksgiving might not be the same, but Thanksgiving will be better. Why? Because God has made a promise. Yes, I might be going through some trouble. Yes, I might be going through some difficult situation. But by the power, glory, and grace of God, healing, peace, hope, restoration, love, and joy will come. You don't have to leave today. All of us that are sharing today are going to be in the lobby. You don't have to leave today the same way. If you want to chat a little bit more about this, if you want to know resources, you want to hear a little bit of my story, of our stories, please come to guest services. As I told you earlier, I'm the guest services director, and I love and I'm passionate about people because sometimes healing begins at the doors. Healing begins in the parking lot. We have hundreds of team members, and by the way, we need you. I need you greeting at the doors. I need you in the parking lot. I need you here serving people. And because healing begins at the moment that people come into our church and begin to experience God and Jesus. Thank you so much.
Hey, my name is Mike Atun. I lead Effie High, which is our high school student ministry here at Community Church. I have a beautiful wife, the one and only Kelly Tootin. You guys have probably seen her before. We have two kids, as you'll see on the screen here. Eli is the oldest. Y'all can say all, one, two, three. And Judah, they're awesome. So blessed to have them. A few years ago, back in October of 2014, I had been on staff at this church for a little over 3.5 years, and I began to feel a pull in my heart that my wife and I were supposed to leave and help my mom and dad with a church that they started in Delaware in 1993. Now, when I shared that with my wife, she was like, nah, that's not happening. I said, no, seriously, like, I cannot sleep at night. I'm so weighed down by this. I need you to pray with me. So after a few months, December rolled around, and I remember the Sunday afternoon at our apartment in Leesburg, Sunday, December 13th, 2014, we had the conversation, and we went out to dinner at P.F. Chang's. Any P.F. Chang lovers? Come on, somebody. Man, that's some good stuff. If you don't like it, you can still be saved. Like, it's cool. So we went to P.F. Chang's, and she was like, man, we have to do this, and I'm tired of being comfortable. I want to be uncomfortable. We got to do this. So after a few months of praying and planning, that summer in July 16th, we moved to Delaware, uprooted our family with our oldest son, Eli, and we moved to Delaware. So we were totally convinced that God had made this possible because we were supposed to go and lead a life-changing turnaround in my dad's ministry. My first Sunday there as the associate pastor, we had 73 people in an auditorium that had held hundreds of people for the majority of my upbringing. We knew what we were getting into. We weren't surprised. But what we didn't expect was that a few months later in October, the majority of my dad's congregants and people that I had grown up with in church would decide to walk out and never return. This left us with very few people in our church, a lot of frustration, a lot of pain, and no money. I had to find a job that week, which for the next year and a half, I was working 60 to 70 hours a week just to be able to provide so that we could stay financially afloat while we were trying to figure out our next steps. During that time, my father and I's relationship was very strained as we were trying to figure out, what in the world are you doing, God? I was confused. I was angry. I was disappointed. I was depressed. I'm like, God, how could you call us here and abandon us? It feels like hell. Honestly, I didn't know what to do, but after about a year and a half of struggle, we decided the next step for us was to walk with my dad through selling his church. And on February 26, 2017, we had our very last service in the church that I was a part of my entire life, that my parents helped start. That next week, I lost my job. I felt like I wanted to die. I'm like, God, seriously, what am I going to do? I remember driving home from work after finding out my hands were shaking. I couldn't make it down the road. And I walk in and I tell my wife, look, we don't have a church and I don't have a job. I don't know what we're going to do. I felt so defeated. I felt like God had abandoned me. That next week, we got a phone call that there was a position open at Virginia Academy for my wife to come back and take a teaching position, the exact position that she left when we came to Delaware, and she was so excited. So we decided that week to pack up and leave and come back to Northern Virginia. But the pain was still real for me. For the next 3.5 months, I was a stay-at-home dad right here in Loudoun County, living in my mother and father-in-law's house. We had drained all of our savings just to make it through that season. And I'll be honest with you, when I would come here most Sundays, I would just walk around in the hallways upstairs because I was so angry at God. I didn't even want to be in this auditorium. I didn't know what was going on, but God used those next 3 months with my kids being home every single day to heal me and to breathe life back into me and to show me that there is hope for the future and that even when you feel like you're going through hell, heaven is still available. See, the promise of God isn't that we're going to be able to avoid the storms in life, but that God's going to walk us through the storms. And he began to restore things in me that I thought would never be returned. There was a passage I held on through this season, and there were some weeks where I didn't want to open the Bible or do anything, but God kept reminding me of this passage in Matthew chapter 11. I want you to read it with me on the screen. It says, then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are what? And carry heavy burdens, and I will give you what? Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. I just want to ask you this morning, do you believe that? Do you believe that we can truly live life with a light burden? I just want to suggest that if you feel like you're carrying a heavy burden, it might be because you're picking up things that don't belong to you. See, God had to break me down and my wife to realize that living, trusting God means waking up every day fully surrendering and saying, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I don't understand this, but I believe that you're with me. And I want you to know this morning that God is with you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever this week felt like, God is with you and he loves you and he cares for you. Which brings me to my bottom line. I want y'all to read this with me on the screen and you can take this down. I want you to hold on to it this week. So let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. God offers to carry the freedom of his grace. And I just want you to know that God loves you more than you could ever know. Thank you so much for letting me share my story. I'll be out in the lobby if you want to come talk afterwards. Love you guys.
Hi, my name is Brian Kirby, or BK, as many people have started calling me. There was Brian Ayers with us before, so with two Brians, it was easier to become BK. And I have been on staff here only since the beginning of this year. I came on board in January along with, and I think we have a picture of my wife and daughter, my wife Denise, and my 16-year-old daughter Annalise. And they are downstairs. They co-lead a fifth grade girls small group in our children's ministry downstairs. So maybe you've even seen them down there if you have a fifth grade daughter. I am glad that Pastor Alon reminded everyone which football is played by more people in the world, and it's this one. So this is the best of Jersey. This is France. You might not know it, but they won a thing called the World Cup. Right? Yeah? Right? So, yeah. There we go. Just had to lay that out there. I have spent most of, or more of my adult life in France than anywhere else. And so I really identify with France. I speak French. And my first ministry, right after college, I moved to Paris and felt like I had won the lottery. I was a youth minister in an international church there. God was doing amazing things in that ministry. And in that church in Paris, I met Denise. And we began dating. She was helping me with my youth group. So those are the advantages sometimes of working with volunteers, is they could even become your wife. That was the case for me. The best of all volunteers. She has to work with me lifelong, though. At least your commitment to Orange might not be that long. But so Denise and I met in Paris, and then I had to make this very difficult decision because she accepted to go on with the State Department, and they wanted her to move back to Washington. And I had to choose between the city that I loved and the woman that I loved, and I chose Denise. And so we moved here, and we thought we'd be here for a while, and the joke was on us. A year later, we moved to Bangkok, Thailand. And I was able to pastor a church there. We moved back here, and then a few years later, God gave us Paris again. It was amazing. In a turn of events, we could never have imagined, she was assigned back to Paris. And within that first year, I was a stay-at-home dad, so I can relate to how much God teaches us through our children. So I was with my daughter her first year of life. And during that year, the pastor of the church where I had been on staff left, and they asked me to step into that role. And we began 7 years of just incredible ministry. We saw God do amazing things. We saw people coming to Christ. We were baptizing people with this incredible ministry among the French as well. I was directing a 100-voice gospel choir as an outreach into our community. And it just seemed like things were just exploding all over. We were only supposed to be there 2 or 3 years, but Denise and I had this sense that God was going to let us stay longer. And I kept saying to people, we're going to be here till 2010. Well, that would have meant 8 years on a 2-year assignment. And people are like, that doesn't happen. That's impossible. And we kept saying, well, we serve a God who does the impossible. And at the embassy, when people would say to Denise, well, how is it that you're still here this long? First, she would jokingly say, well, you know what my husband does, right? He's a pastor. He's got the inside connection. But she would follow it up with, but God has called us to be here. So all of this is going on, and I was at this conference in Switzerland that I was help leading, and I was sitting on the front row, and we'd been praying about how much longer God was going to let us stay. And the pastor stood up and read this passage that you're going to see on the screen from Isaiah 43, and I'd like to have you read it with me now. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. God used that passage to tell me that we were going to leave Paris, and I was heartbroken. I did not want to leave this church where I felt like God was doing so many incredible things. Why would God tear us out of this place where so much good was happening? And I think I cried the whole drive back from Switzerland to Paris, thinking about just the loss. And we moved back to this area. I wasn't finding a connection with the church that I felt called to, and so I kept saying no to church positions, and we thought we had sold our house, and so we signed to buy another one, only to find out that the sale had fallen through. So for 9 months, we found ourselves with two mortgages, emptying the bank, no money, a position I wasn't excited about, where I was teaching, and it just seemed like I couldn't stop mourning. I couldn't let go. And in the midst of my ministry in Paris, I was suddenly realizing that my marriage was in a terrible place because I had given away too much of my time, too much of my love to other people. And my wife was amazing because she showed such love and grace and peace for me when I was a mess. I found an incredible Christian therapist who helped me deal with some things in my own past and in my life and some things I was holding on to. As we walked through that time, we discovered that my wife was going to be assigned to Rome. And so we moved to Rome in 2013, and through an amazing turn of events that only God could orchestrate, in 2015, we were a part of launching a new church, Rome International Church, a new English-speaking church in Rome. And I think about how much I was holding on to Paris, and it took those years for God to convince me to let go so that this beautiful new thing that God was doing in me and in that community could happen. God wanted me to forget the former things and to see the new thing that God was doing. It was springing up before me. And I've seen that in my life, sometimes I'm holding on too much to the past. It could even be a great past. But I'm so clinging to the past that I can't see the future. And I wonder for many of us how much we're clinging to something God used to be doing and we're missing what God wants to do. And that thing in the past could have been something positive and beautiful. It could be something really negative and awful. But God's calling us to let that go, to see the new thing that God is doing that is springing up before us. So when God walks us through that storm, and this is the point I want to underline with you, is that when God walks us through that storm, even though it's difficult, it is always for our own good. Always for our own good. Because God has plans to prosper us. God has plans for a future. But to do those things, God is calling us to forget the things of the past and to look toward the things that God has for us in our future. It's springing up before us. Can't you see it? I have the honor and privilege of leading our Connect Group ministry here, which is our small groups, and I hope that every single one of you have found connection and belonging in a Connect Group, because those are places where you can find a circle of friends who are also going to walk through this storm with you, who might be able to help you see the new thing that God wants to do that you don't see yet, or who might see the thing that you need to let go of. If you haven't joined a Connect Group yet, I hope that you'll come out and find me at Guest Services, and let's find the right connection for you, because God has so many wonderful things in store for you. Thanks for letting me share with you today. Amen.
We give them all a hand. Thank you, guys. Talented. Wow. Listen, if you're in a difficulty or a tight spot or a trouble, you're not alone. I wonder if we could we bow our heads just right now, just in the church. I want us to take another step. Remember, you're not alone. I would love for us as a church just to stop and pray for you, whoever that is. I would never embarrass you in any way, but if you're going through a real challenge, or maybe like one of them said, you're carrying a burden, it's just, you're exhausted, I can't carry this you're in a tight spot of difficulty, would you just quietly, while all heads are bowed, eyes closed, would you mind just standing? I just want to just pray for you right where you are, and if that's you, we'll wait here just a moment. You don't have to be embarrassed at all. You're in a good place. You're among family. Lord, you're seeing the people who are standing. Wait here just a moment more. God bless you for standing. While everyone's heads bowed and eyes are closed, maybe someone's near you standing. Let's just begin to pray just right now. Can we do that? Maybe you can pray for someone who's maybe near you or around you. Let's just all begin to access the help of the Lord. If you're standing, I want you to also pray. Say, Lord, help me. Help me. Father, we just stop right now in this service, and I thank you that you are the God of all help. Come on, you're the God of all help, all strength, and all hope. This is not the end. This is not the way things are going to always be. I'm coming through in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you do not abandon us in the valley, but that you meet us in the valley, Lord, and you help us, Lord, to walk through it. Lord, for those who are standing, I pray, God, and I thank you, Lord, that help is on the way. Lord, begin in the way that we think between our ears, Lord. Let there be a new way of thinking, God, come upon us, Lord. A new hope, Lord, to permeate our souls and our minds. And Lord, I pray for those who wanted to stand, but they were so afraid. God, I thank you that you love them as well, and help is on the way for them. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. All of us said. Come on now, let's all stand together and just join our brothers and sisters. All of us standing together.